ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Going to read just now from Srimad Bhagavatam with commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Reading. Oh. What am I reading? Ah. Yeah, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 12, Text 14. This is Brahma speaking to Rudra. My dear boy, you may now accept all the names and places designated for you and your different wives. Brahma gave his son Rudra 11 wives. And since you are now one of the masses of the living entities, you may increase the population on a large scale. Purport, Brahma, as the father of Rudra, selected the wives of his son, his living places, and his names as well. It is natural that one should accept the wife selected by one's father, just as a son accepts the name given by the father, or as he accepts the property offered by the father. That is the general course in increasing the population of the world. On the other hand, the Kumaras did not accept the offering of their father because they were elevated far beyond the business of generating a great number of sons. As the son can refuse the order of the father for higher purposes, so the father can refuse to maintain his sons in increasing population because of higher purposes. I just chose to speak on this just to point out how odd or even antisocial or even outrageous this might appear to someone who is steeped in the secular egalitarian ideas of the modern world. It's been perfectly acceptable to generations of people raised in Vedic culture. They wouldn't have any problem with it whatsoever. First of all, that Rudra has 11 wives is not going to go down well with many people at the present time, including Indians, who previously it was quite normal in this country for men to have at least two wives, or three wives, or four wives, or more. Two was quite common. Still, there are some men who have two wives. Usually, if the first wife is childless, another wife may be accepted. Not that the first one is divorced. That's becoming increasingly common. So, you should have many wives. Now, here's a point. Srila Prabhupada says that it's natural that a boy accepts the name given by the father. Right? Most people wouldn't have much problem with that. But then it's also natural that the boy accepts the wife selected by the father also. The father selects a name for the boy. The boy has his wife selected by the boy. The girl is given away. Contrary to the girl is given away by the father to the husband, who becomes the son-in-law, contrary to the Supreme Court's statement, Supreme Court of India statement, that the wife is not the property of the husband. According to Hindu law, the wife is the property. Of course, not a property in exactly the same way as a horse. It's not to be sold or mistreated. Of course, a horse shouldn't be mistreated either. But to be protected, that's the idea. Now, also discussed here is the business of generating a great number of sons. Now I'm going to read from another purport elsewhere in this third canto. This is This is Kardama Muni speaking to his wife, Devahuti. Srila Prabhupada writes, as a woman, she had to love someone. Normal, natural. That a woman should love someone. She wants to have a husband to love. And what's the... Yeah, much discussion within Srila Prabhupada's books about marriage. Here is from Canto 3, Chapter 23, Text 52. Devahuti has been given 9 sons. This is the language used, the terms used. Given 9 sons by her husband. But she's asking, what about having a son? You're going to leave home and become a sannyasi, or the daughters will go away after they get married. What about having a son? Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, it is said that the father himself becomes the son in another form. The father and the son are therefore considered to be non-different. A widow who has her son is not actually a widow because she has the representative of her husband. Similarly, Devahuti is indirectly asking Kardama Muni to leave a representative so that in his absence she might be relieved of her anxieties by a suitable son. A householder is not expected to remain at home for all his days. After getting his sons and daughters married, a householder can retire from household life, leaving his wife in the charge of the grown-up sons. Note the plural, sons. That is the social convention of the Vedic system. Devahuti is indirectly asking that in his absence from home there be at least one male child to give her relief from her anxieties. This relief means spiritual instruction. Relief does not mean material comforts. Material comforts will end with the end of the body, but spiritual instruction will not end. It will go on with the spirit soul. Instruction in spiritual advancement is necessary. But without having a worthy son, how could Devahuti advance in spiritual knowledge? It is the duty of the husband to liquidate his debt to his wife. There you go. The wife is the considered in one way the property of the husband, but at the same time it is the duty of the husband to liquidate his debt to his wife. He has a debt to give her spiritual knowledge. The wife gives her sincere service to the husband, and he becomes indebted to her because one cannot accept service from his subordinate without giving him something in exchange. The spiritual master cannot accept service from a disciple without awarding him spiritual instruction. That is the reciprocation of love and duty. Thus, Devahuti reminds her husband, Kardama Muni, that she has rendered him faithful service. Even considering the situation on the basis of liquidating his debt toward his wife, he must give a male child before he leaves. Indirectly, Devahuti requests her husband to remain at home a few days more, or at least until a male child is born. So what I'm going to speak about just now is something I've spoken up about before. It's not directly Krishna conscious, but it is important advice for grihasthas, especially young grihasthas. Something you can think about anyway, because it might seem to be quite revolutionary in the modern age. That's to have sons. It's revolutionary in the modern age. And have a few. Why is that? Why not just have daughters? Why have any children at all? And then why get married at all? That's not a bad idea if you're so spiritually advanced. But I know quite a few devotees who are not particularly spiritually advanced, but they themselves would admit. But they're living as brahmacharis in the ashram, and they're thinking, well, it's just, I'll live like this. It's too much trouble to get married. So if I do a little service in the ashram and I get my needs taken care of. Not very elevated platform. I remember many years ago, it was probably 1975, the year I was admitted into this movement. I remember I was quite new in Krishna consciousness. I was in Bhaktivedanta Manor in London. And a devotee from Germany, I was speaking to him, Maharaj Das, his name was, as far as I remember. And he said, he was married, and he said that Srila Prabhupada had asked him why he didn't have children after he'd been married for some time. And I can't, the point that Prabhupada said was that what's the point of getting married if you're not going to have children? Srila Prabhupada himself sometimes quoted from Manu, Putrarthe kriyate bharya. One gets married, one accepts a wife for the purpose of having a son. That is the, it's a responsibility actually to have a son. And I'm recommending sons. Well, what's wrong if you just have daughters? Well, there's different role in Vedic society for men and women. The boys, when they grow up, as Srila Prabhupada stated here, they have to look after the parents in old age. Many people, when they grow old nowadays, I see this among Western people and among Western devotees also. They're older, but they feel humiliated and they don't by having to be served by others. But there's nothing wrong with that. It's the natural course of events that they've. When people are hale and hearty, they look after children who need looking after. And when they themselves get old, then their children look after them. It's just the way Krishna set up this world. Now, the girls are to marry and go to another home. It is not the duty of the girls to support their parents. It is the duty of the sons. That's one reason to have sons. A man should have sons, even if he is going to be renounced, like Kardama Muni renounced and left his family. But his wife wanted at least a son to look after her. And Srila Prabhupada clarifies that looking after in the fullest and best sense is to give spiritual knowledge. But even for material needs, most people in the modern age, they're very concerned what will happen about them in old age. And what actually happens is that they, in the Western countries, they get put away in some institution, which is like a prison for miserable people waiting to die with nothing to live for because they have no higher purpose of life. Devotees are supposed to have a higher purpose of life. But if they're worried about what will happen to them in future, and in one sense they should worry because the body will break down and even to walk from one place to another, 50 meters, may require someone to help them. These are practical considerations. Apart from who will provide them food if they don't have money, who will provide food? So it's the duty of the sons to do that. But then you may need more than one son. You can't just bank on one. Just like two of my disciples, husband and wife, they have one son. He died in a road accident. Now they have no sons. They're too old to have more children. Another of my disciples, he's one of two sons. But the other son is mentally retarded. He'd like to be a full-time devotee, but he's in a situation where he feels he has to work to support his parents. Previously in Ireland, my mother was from an Irish Catholic family, and I believe it was like that in many, if not all, predominantly Catholic countries. It was the culture. This is going back not so far. My mother was one of 13 children that survived. Maybe there were some who didn't survive. But it was common to have many children, and the idea is that out of the many children, at least some of them would become priests and nuns. So that's another reason to have more children. More boys, have more boys, then you can give them to be full-time preachers of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada wanted, actually, his disciples, Grihastha disciples, to have more sons so that they could be trained as preachers in the Gurukul. They may think that, well, it's so expensive to have so many children. Well, it is, especially if you send them for all this expensive demoniac education. You can send them to Gurukul, send some money too. but we don't, if you can, but we don't demand that. Actually, the Grihasthas who send their children to Gurukul, they should at least cover their expenses, which shamefully, in many cases, they don't even do that. But we don't demand it. We train the boys first and foremost to be devotees of Krishna, to read Prabhupada's books, to have a taste for chanting the holy names. You see, there are so many Muslims, they have so many children. They get on with their life. They don't all have office jobs, but they themselves marry, they have more children. So it's not required to have all this fancy education costing much money. Another reason to have more children, and more sons especially, is that to have more devotees. Have more devotees, yeah. Good. Let there be more devotees. That's one way to make devotees. There are so many good souls who would like to be born in an opportunity to be raised in devotional service. So why not facilitate that? Many times parents nowadays, they don't want to. They think, oh, it's too much headache. Looking after children, we can do more service if we don't have children. But that's also a service, raising children in Krishna consciousness. And it is a burden, no doubt, to have children, but then your parents took the burden to have you. Why don't you take that burden? And burden, yeah, but that becomes a pleasure as you see the children grow up and take their place in the world. And it becomes the opposite of a... If you only have one child, then it becomes a burden on the child to look after you in old age, and they might not do it. But if you have many children, then between them, it won't be so much of a... But you're making a burden on them by only having one child. So I know that not many are going to take this serious so far. None of my Grihastha disciples have taken this very seriously. Mostly nowadays people marry so late they can hardly have children anyway. That's another nonsense thing. But you can consider it. Like I say, it was just considered a completely normal thing until a short time ago that people have many children. What we do suspect, that in many cases parents are not having many children, it's not they're not having sex, but they're just using contraceptives, which is sinful. So for married people to have sex is normal thing. The natural result is that they should have children and look after them. So that's, again, nothing directly Krishna conscious, but we do find within Shastra and within Srila Prabhupada's teachings many pieces of advice. Often they go against the grain, the piece of advice that are not directly Krishna conscious, but that are meant for his disciples, how to live in this world. We don't have to live according to why should we live according to the way of these people who don't know what is the goal of life nor how to attain it? Let's live the way that Krishna wants us to live. How many children did Krishna have? 16,108 times 10 sons and 161,080 sons from 16,108 wives and one daughter also from each wife. We don't hear much about the daughters, but we had daughters also. So, we're not recommending anyone has 16,108 wives, nor can anyone do so. But to have 10 sons was a normal thing. Normal thing. Nothing unusual. For some countries, they made this policy of having less children, and now they have a demographic problem. China made a rule, one child, one pregnancy per family, per woman. And now they have a demographic problem. They don't have enough people for their country to maintain their power and their might. In Europe, the countries, they're importing people who don't follow their culture, and many of them want to change the culture by bringing in Islamic Sharia law. They're bringing in people because they don't have enough, they're not reproducing enough. So one way to keep this Krishna conscious movement going is to have more children. Please think about it if you're a young Grihastha. Think about it, and thinking, feeling and willing, you can do it also. Dharma viruddho bhute smriti. What is that? Dharma viruddho kamo smriti. What is it? Dharma viruddho bhute smriti kamo smriti bharadarshava. Krishna says, I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. So, that's also within the scope of dharma to have sex life for the sake of having children. So, I won't belabor this much more. I know that some people criticize me as a sannyasi for even talking about these things, but Srila Prabhupada, he also did. So, following his example, I'm doing that. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas charki bhasindu vyavichapati dhanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna.